previously on Untold.
I'm Robin Gallagher, the new assistant, and I've been assigned to Untold.
Where are you? Send me a text or an email or something.
By the way, all your voicemail is being forwarded to me now. Not to step out of line, but a lot of people are trying to reach you. Is everything okay?
Good afternoon, Miss Steffi. My name is Julian Grave. I'm a contract private investigator, and my client believes that his situation requires someone of your proclivities.
I see a bit of myself in you. Poor fellow.
It's really comforting knowing that someone will know how Julian Grave and I are trapped in Hollow House. A ring with a cloudy opal at its center, an ornate hand mirror, a small dagger with a bejeweled hilt, and a vial with tiny reflective rocks. Asher Thorne is obsessed with them, and every morning I hear his screams echo through the halls of this great big house when he finds out that someone has strewn them across different rooms. But it wasn't until a few nights ago that I learned who it was.
Visitors, the living, it's been so long.
Do you hear that?
Last night I checked Tamara's voicemail and found a large audio file waiting for me. It was timestamped in yesterday's date, meaning the recording had been made the same day it was sent. It had been made in the house. But before I play it for you, I have to play our most recent exchange.
Hey, I have a lot to fill you in on, but before I do, can you do me a favor? Can you look up Euphemia or Effie Hollow? She ran a finishing school for young girls around the 20s or 30s. I would check the microfiches and the newspaper records. I'm not really looking for anything specific. I just wanted to know how she's remembered, if she's remembered, and, well, how she died.
As per your request, I pulled some information on Effie Hollow. She ran a finishing school for young girls on the south side of the Hollow property. The school closed when she became too sick to run it anymore, shortly before her death in 1949 from the mystery illness. But what Pombury really knows her for is so much better. During the late 20s, not only was she running the Hollow School for Young Ladies, but in its basement was a speakeasy open to Pombury residents called Effie's Lounge. Just wall-to-wall with classic Prohibition-era contraband and a total open secret for years. Some fraternity at Chelsea Thorne College in East Pombury erected a statue of Effie Hollow holding up a bottle in the middle of Greek Street. The town council won't let the college tear it down because of its historical significance. Her obituary said that she died in her sickbed at Hollow House and was survived by her nephew, who was an adult at the time. He inherited everything from her. By then, speakeasies were obsolete, but Effie had kept it open as a gathering place. But when she died, her nephew shut it down. He kept the girls' school going for a little while longer before shuttering that as well. It's all pretty fascinating, but why do you want to know?
Okay, this is gonna sound... Well, I asked you about Effie Hollow because... Well, I think... No. I know that I met her.
This can't be real.
As real as can be, Sugar Plum. But you two aren't dead. What are you doing in the hymn?
Who are you?
Euphemia Hollow, but only when I'm in trouble. You can call me Effie.
I'm sorry, but are you a ghost?
Well, that's rude to ask someone, isn't it? But yes, for lack of a better word, my time on the Earth ended decades ago. What fun I had. This is all that's left of me, clinging on to the hem.
You keep saying that word. Well, what is the hem?
The hem is what once was, but is no longer. An eternal holding cell for those of us who died on the Hollow property. In some ways, it's a reflection of the house. That's why sometimes we can see glimpses of the other side.
Sorry, but what's the other side?
You live on the other side, and then you die, and then you're in the hymn. For all of eternity. Except for when I can see the other side through the mirror.
Except according to you, we aren't dead. So that can't be right.
I do wonder how you ended up here. Probably the stones.
The stones? Did you say that you can see the other side through a mirror?
Oh, you're familiar with the things in the safe, aren't you? They're the only things we can touch in the hymn. I've been looking through them every night, just so I can remember what it was like. At first, I didn't want to, in case my rotten nephew was on the other side. Nasty boy, making me drink that bitter almond tea until my last breath. But then I realized far too long had passed and Henry was as dead as I was.
Well, guess we know who's been moving the heirlooms every night.
Julian and I found Effie while searching through the rooms on the east wing of the house. She materialized in front of us, at first in floating blue wisps that then came together to consolidate her form. Even then, there was a shimmer to her, a translucent quality. It's second nature to me now to slip my hand into my pocket and hit record, but I'm really glad I did. I know how it all sounds, talking to a ghost, but there you have it, the recording and all, proof that I'm not making things up or losing my mind in here. Our encounter with Effie taught us two things. One, we are not alone here. There are others in this place that she called the Hem. Two, the Avon heirlooms were related to all this, just as Julian had suspected, and maybe they're even the key to us getting out of here.
You've reached Robin Gallagher at Grey Parrot Productions. Please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you.
It's hard to tell what is day and night in the Hem. Typically, there is an unidentifiable draft that perpetually travels through the house, occasionally shaking the rafters and the floorboards. But for a few hours a day, the house goes still. This is what I imagine to be night, or whatever version of night exists here. The night after we talked to Effie, we made our way to Asherthorne's study. The large mahogany double doors were uncomfortably familiar. Julian put his hand up against the doorknob, but the doors opened before he even touched it. Thorne's study looked like what you would expect, leather and old wood adorning the walls and floors. Behind his desk was a bookshelf that spanned the entire wall, and an attached ladder led all the way up to the top shelf where, wedged between the oldest-looking books I have ever seen, was a small safe. I volunteered to climb up the ladder, although I wasn't sure how I was going to get the safe open, but when we reached the top, that wasn't even a concern. Just like the door when I pressed my hand up against the dial of the safe, it opened on its own. It was so strange, I swear I could have heard a faint pop and a tuft of air push back my hand. Physicality doesn't make sense in the Hem. In the safe, I saw a small dagger with a hilt covered in multicolored jewels. The metal of the knife looked almost translucent. Next to it was a ring centered with a cloudy opal and a small corked vial with the small reflective stones. And then I saw it, an ornate brass hand mirror. Immediately, my fingers were drawn to the mirror, specifically its frame. When I touched it, I shivered at the cold feel of the metal. I grabbed it and made my way down the ladder.
You took it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're here for.
I know, but never mind. What do we do with it?
Julian, look at the reflection. It's changing.
I didn't notice it at first, the changing face of the mirror. Small swirls of mist were obscuring our reflection. We waited a few seconds in silence before the mist cleared, and on the other side we were met with the familiar cold black eyes of Petra Thorne.
So, it's true.
Petra, can you hear us?
Very clearly, so you can stop yelling.
Petra, you get us out of here, or you'll be sorry.
Your threats are meaningless. I couldn't get you out even if I wanted to. And there's nothing you can do to me from over there.
Trust me when I say I will find a way.
Okay, just everyone calm down. Petra, what happened? Why are we here?
It's all a part of his plan. The plan that I know nothing about. But of course I do. I was only in danger until you came into the picture. So, in a way, you did me a big favor. Sticking your nose into our business.
What do you mean? I was hired by Mr. Thorne himself.
I wouldn't fight it if I were you. What's going to happen is inevitable. Best to just accept it.
Accept what? What are you talking about?
Why do you people insist on talking in riddles?
I see why he wanted you for this, Mr. Grave. You were a lot like how he used to be. Before he started wearing that ring. Before he became ruthless.
Please, help us.
I have to look out for myself.
The face in the mirror twisted into something unrecognizable, and then it was obscured by that same mist. When it cleared, all I could see was my reflection. A pronounced frown, eyebrows knit together in worry. All I could think was, how are we going to get out of here?
You've reached Robin Gallagher at Grey Parrot Productions. Please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you.
They say that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But what to do if the tree is rotten to its roots? I know what happened to Mara Safi and Julian Grave. My position allows me to know a lot more than you could ever hope to uncover all by yourselves. I suppose I could just tell you, but where's the fun in that? Let's play a game. I like a good scavenger hunt. Take a little trip to Palmbury, Connecticut. You might have just heard of it. There's an old iron fence that separates the south property of Hollow House and the Palmbury Society Cemetery. You may just find something under the eastern hemlock tree that grows there.
Story and editing by Maisha Razik. Music by Ross Bugden. Today's episode featured Emily Huffman and guest voices Tom Mizell, Anjali Nair, Laura Honick, and Abby Suresh. To keep up with the show, follow at The Untold Pod on Twitter and Instagram.